Let me start by telling you a story. On a quiet weekday morning some years ago, two older women named Naomi and Roberta walked into the home without any advance notice, just knocked on the door, walked into the home of a young mother. And they were there to pay a visit to this young mother and her family. This young mom had been married probably 5 years, and she grew up in church, wasn't really going at that point as kind of a young married, young adult, had a child, wasn't hostile to faith, wasn't opposed to God, just, you know how it goes sometimes. Things just fall by the wayside and your priorities shift for better or worse. And so these two older women came into the house and admired the home and saw a sleeping child, and they sat down on the couch in the living room, and one of them, Naomi, looked at this young mother and said to her, "Young lady, you need to get yourself back in church." Have you ever had one of those experiences where someone just told you the truth? Just hits you right between the eyes. Sometimes people tell you the truth when you need encouragement. And they make you feel seen. And they remind you of things about you that you might have forgotten. Sometimes those words, especially when they come from maybe a different generation, someone with some backing to say what they're saying, sometimes those words are convicting. They remind you of some priorities that have shifted or some things that you need to change in your life. I think we've all been on the receiving end of those things sometimes. I also think that's a responsibility that older generations can carry toward younger ones. That's going to be true in families or workplaces. It's definitely true among God's people. Because every generation of God's people eventually faces the same question. How do we make sure that the story doesn't stop with us? That's the question that Moses is facing in Deuteronomy. If you want to join me in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In this spot, Moses has summoned all of Israel to hear the commands of the Lord once again. Right before this, he's rehearsed the Ten Commandments, all of the things about worshiping God alone and keeping the Sabbath and honoring parents and not murdering or stealing or committing adultery and about being truthful. And he reminds this gathered people of the time at Mount Sinai when the law originally came down. And he warns this audience to keep these commands fully. And then he turns his attention not just to the crowd in front of him, but to the crowd that will come and to the next generation that will come decades and centuries even later. And he begins now in chapter 6 with what we might know as the Shema. That's the word for hear or listen. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Then Moses tells them to internalize the commands. He says, "The commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts." But he doesn't want them to stay internal. These aren't just things to memorize or meditate on or keep to themselves just to have in their back pocket when crunch time hits. These commands need to move. The commands need to be carried. He continues by telling them, "Impress these commands on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." These are active and tangible verbs. It's not just think or consider or meditate. It's impress and talk and tie them and write them. The commands he's giving, that they're growing arms and legs and bodies. The commands need to stay in front of this generation and the next one and the next one after that. These commands don't just belong in official religious spaces. They belong at your dinner table and in the bedroom and on road trips and all over your architecture and decorations. These commands need to stretch and grow and sprout and stay in front of your kids and your grandkids and the generations to come. Why is that important? Generations forget. Generations take on their own personalities and interests. Generations don't typically spend their time looking through the archives to see what the generations before them believed and practiced. Moses knows if you're going to carry a story, you need to build a container. I think sometimes we misunderstand how faith gets passed on. We want to institutionalize Deuteronomy chapter 6. We need a good children's ministry. We need a good youth ministry. We need Bible classes and curriculum and people who can teach. Yeah, we do. Those things matter. But I think Moses' vision is at once very ordinary and also very demanding. He does not just say, you know, make sure your kids have a good religious education program. He says to them, talk about this when you're sitting around the house. Discuss these things when you're walking down the road. Have a conversation when you're going to bed. Have another conversation when you're getting up. The container is a family. The container is a community. The container is a people who share life together enough for the story to travel. Moses later on even imagines a day when a child asks, what do all these commands mean? And what's fascinating, I think, is Moses' answer. He does not say to answer the child, well, you know, these are the rules of our religion. The answer you give the child is to tell a story. A story that begins, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out. A younger generation asks a question, and an older generation tells a story. I think that's an extraordinarily simple picture of faith formation. Because sooner or later, every generation is going to ask some of these questions. Why do we do all this? Why do we worship? Why baptism? Why communion? Why forgive people? Why give money away? Why serve people that can do nothing for you? Why even keep showing up here? And we are going to need people around them who can answer with more than, well, that's just what you're supposed to do. We need people who can say, let me tell you what God has done. Now, just to be clear, Deuteronomy 6 is speaking primarily to parents. Parents bear a responsibility for forming their children, and it's a responsibility that the church can't outsource and can't replace. But no parent was ever intended to constitute the entire people of God for any child. Children need to know adults. who aren't related to them. Teenagers need adults who know their names and care about their interests. Young adults need older Christians who take them seriously. And, in fact, older Christians need younger Christians too. Because this doesn't travel in just one direction. Some of us who have been following Jesus for decades, we might need to hear the perspective of a 22-year-old. Sometimes children can ask questions that expose how thin some of our answers have become. Every generation carries something, and every generation has something still to receive. Because if we're talking about the stories that we all carry, then everyone in this room is carrying something that someone else needs. And so maybe you hear all of this so far and you think, I'm not a teacher. Fine. You don't have to be. You don't have to lead a class or volunteer in the youth group. You don't have to develop a mentoring plan, although you could do any of those things. But how about this? Learn a kid's name. Ask a teenager what they're interested in. Tell a college student something good that you see in them. Invite someone of a different generation to sit with you. Tell someone how God met you in a very hard season. And let someone see you serve when there's nothing in it for you. This is how stories travel. You may not remember it 10 years from now. They might. I think we almost never know in the moment how far these things will travel. You say something, you show up, you learn a name, you tell a story, you just live faithfully in front of somebody else. And most of the time, you have no idea what God might do with it. Which brings me back to that young mother sitting on her couch. That young mother started going to church, and she took her husband and her little boy. And eventually she was baptized, and so was her husband. And that little boy grew up in a youth group that cultivated his gifts. And he grew up around people who encouraged him. And that little boy went to college. And that big boy went into ministry. And that boy is preaching to you today. I love you so much to let you see my teenage picture. I do. And that was only the beginning. There were a lot of people along the way who carried the story to me in very ordinary ways. There was an older woman named Irene Wallace. She was like a second grandmother to me in town. And I would show up at church and she would hand me just a single stick of wintergreen gum and say, "There's my boy." And then later when I would lead singing, she would encourage me. Another person, he was a greeter. I don't know what his real name was, but he went by Pinky. So Pinky Lloyd was a greeter. And we'd walk in, and he would hand all the kids a roll of Smarties. Okay, gum and Smarties. We are not talking about a curriculum you might design here for children's faith formation. But you know what I remember? They were glad to see me, and they knew my name. Then there's Roberta, the other woman I told you about. She was like, I don't know, the prophetess Anna in my life, because she kept a little picture of me in her wallet, and she would always see me at church. And as I got older, and she kind of knew what my career trajectory was going to be, she would say these words to me, and I'm quoting to you verbatim, "I always knew you was gonna be a preacher." I could keep going. I could tell you about my own family, what happened as my parents grew in their faith formation. I remember going to the hardware store with my dad when I was a kid, and there was a $20 bill just laying on the floor, and my dad casually picked it up and handed it to the clerk, as he would do. And that person looked not at my dad, but he looked at me and he said, well, the world needs more people like your dad. I don't know what the world can do, but I can be more like my dad. Or I'd go with my mom as we would take meals to people who were homebound in some way or another. And my mom likes to talk with people, so I would be sitting there while she would have a conversation with them in their living room. I'm wanting to leave, but I'm observing my mom take an interest in people's lives. Or going to my grandparents' house on holidays, and there's my granddad, Robert Finner. Before we could even eat, he was in the kitchen packaging up food because he owned several rental properties, most of whom had widows living there. And so before we could eat, we had to go with him in his truck and go deliver some Thanksgiving or Christmas meals to people who probably weren't going to make something like that for themselves. None of these people ever sat me down and said, Josh, here's a lesson in service. Josh, here's a lesson in welcoming people. I just soaked it in. It just got in me. And I could sit here this morning and tell you name after name after name. And by the way, notice, none of the names I mentioned were preachers or church leaders. And they played important roles too. I've told you about some of them. I'm not downplaying that. I want you to see that little things stuck with me. And they taught me on the roadside. When you're waking up, when you're lying down, that's when I got taught by other generations. And then somehow it just happened that now I'm the grown-up. And those stories have stuck with me, and now I have stories to carry to another generation, and so do you. Someone handed you a story. It might have been a parent or a grandparent or a relative or a friend or a complete stranger. And now it's our job to take these stories and carry them to another generation by learning names, taking an interest, showing hospitality. Because you never know. You never know how far a conversation on a living room couch or even a stick of gum will go. Church, let's be standing as we sing.